High noon here on Jones and Keefe. It's Tier Tuesday. Kiefer Madness coming your way at 12:45. It's also a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop. The sandwich shop at Jones and Keefe every Tuesday. Keefe's already done his number nine over there.
Smoked it. Delicious.
I'm halfway through this Thanksgiving sub.
Yeah, you're going to fall asleep?
Tremendous.
Is it really that good?
It's real nice. I don't know when the tryptophan's going to hit,
but it's
very, very tasty. So big thanks to them. FlexCar. You can save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And Tommy Curran, also brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way home from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
Good afternoon.
Oh, it's a wonderful afternoon.
Oh, it's the best.
The Patriots having their victory Monday yesterday. Tommy, Tuesday today. We played a clip from you on NBC Sports Boston on Sunday discussing the juxtaposition between Caleb Williams and Drake May. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that at all, but it was striking on Sunday.
It was, and I'm not sure exactly what the clip was, but my biggest impression is that Caleb Williams is being so poorly managed that they're going to be below scratch by the time they start to get him organized. When you look at the Patriots, for all their faults and missteps at numerous levels, personnel, head coaching, coordinators, et cetera, Robert Kraft said to me, and I think he said it publicly as well, the only thing that matters is coaching quarterback. And when you look at the quarterback development that they've done, whether it's from Alex Van Pelt and the on-field stuff with a slow playing of putting him out there, or the way that May himself has ascended to the leadership role that he did in a very diplomatic way where he wasn't overstepping, you can contrast that with Caleb Williams. The footwork of Williams, the timing of Williams are abhorrent. He is holding the ball too long. His footwork and his just spray misses are unbelievable. He's got 19% of his throws, period, are wild. I have the stat. It's on my computer. I'm doing it right now for quick glance, but it's just jaw-dropping how inaccurate he is. And the lack of development that he has experienced since getting to the league is going to put him probably back worse than he was when he got there in April. So it's a real contrast in the way the two players were developed.
You know, we've talked a lot about the report that Drake May kind of pulled the offense aside and spoke to him because they were having a bad practice and, you know, showing some leadership there. Are we making too big a deal out of that? Because Jones and I think that is, like, fantastic and, like, what a step forward. Or is that just something that, hey, you know, every once in a while quarterbacks kind of just have to do that?
No, I think it's a huge deal because was he going to do that in April, May, June, July, or August? No, he was not wandering in here saying, I have it all figured out. The way Caleb Williams, for instance, was texting the punter that they drafted in the fourth round saying, we're not going to need you much this year. May did not come in and act as if he had it figured out. We watched him during rookie minicamp, and he was glacial in his detail-oriented approach to learning what they wanted him to do. So it's been a very gradual, I think, assumption of the leadership mantle. He never big-footed Jacoby Brissett. But when it finally came time for people to get on the quality control, and everybody had probably said something, for the fast-talking, somewhat awkward, but kind of lovable Drake May standing up in front of a bunch of adults at the age of 22 and saying, we need better, is kind of impressive, I think. And it shows that the Patriots got the right guy. One thing that Mayo said during the owners' meetings is he's all football. He's all football all the time. And notice that. Have we seen any social media stuff? Have we seen any Instagram? Have we seen any branding? Have we seen any no bull or whatever else we see players embrace? He's all football.
Yeah, I think I've seen one auto dealership commercial that he does, but it's minimal. He had the moment that I know you didn't like, I didn't love either, with Aaron Rodgers after the Jets game, but no, that's been very minimal. And just to juxtapose it with, you mentioned Noble, to juxtapose it with Mac Jones, like, I don't know, would Mac call stuff like that? Would he address the whole team? Would he run it by the offensive coordinator? Or would he just go behind the offensive coordinator and head coach's back? Like, it feels very different, not to pile on Mac, but I'll go ahead and pile on Mac. It feels very different than him.
I think that he probably would, and I think that he would have the respect somewhat of his teammates. But in that dynamic, Bill was already actively peeing on his forehead on a regular basis. So it's very difficult for you to, if you're not empowered by the people above you, to show that you have the ability to lead. So
that's tough with pee on your forehead. I agree.
Difficult.
That's not easy.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's tough to stand there and, and be a compelling figure, I would imagine.
No, no, no. Play it out. You're doing good. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very – I mean, it's Brady again. We can make a comparison without making, you know, a one-to-one, he is the guy. But Brady in 2000, was the leader as the sixth-round pick of a fleet of draft picks. And he assumed the leadership role. And I remember listening to guys say that when he got in the huddle, even during practices, when he wasn't the starter, they'd be like, oh, God, this is so over the top in terms of, let's get in after this. And it's like 2 hours into the practice, and they're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
But he's genuine. Brady was. And I think that Drake May is extremely genuine, almost in a way that there's nothing calculated the way I can see. I think Brady could be a little calculating, but I don't think that Drake May is a calculated guy. The only thing that he wants to get is better.
What do you make of both Kendrick Bourne being inactive last week with the idea of playing younger guys, but then also KJ Osborne getting the second most wide receiver snaps?
I think it's two different things are at play here. One, they want to get younger guys the ball more often, and I think we saw that with Kayshon Boutte and DeMario Douglas. But the guys who are not on their details, and I think that we've seen over the course of time is – lovable as Kendrick Bourne is, he's not a detail-oriented fella. I think it's the general perception within the organization. He's well-meaning, happy, and productive as he can sometimes be. He just is prone to mistakes. So, on one hand, you don't see Javon Baker. Tyquan Thornton is completely in mothballs now. But they're moving. You have to have somebody out there in terms of you have to have three wideouts. So, they have the two tight ends. So DeMario Douglas, Kayshon Boutte, and KJ Osborne are your three that you're going to put up, and you're going to more or less pound the ball to the two tight ends, Hooper and Henry, and then to DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Boutte because they're your best players. And Jalen Polk, I left him out of that conversation too, but I really think Kayshon Boutte is their best wide receiver, and he'll probably still be the best wide receiver even when Jalen Polk improves. I just think he's a better player.
No, we were talking about this yesterday. I think that's a shift for Keith and myself as well. We both take him, you know, as the number one guy over Pop Douglas at this point. It's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What is your Flex of the Game from Pat's Bears, Tom?
Flex of the Game was the Patriots after the heinous turnover in the second half on the interception. Coming back and bowing up. I'm not sure. Was that the second half? Did I misspeak there? I should have been more prepared in my flex for the game.
The pick was the first half.
Okay. First half. Let's also then go with the bow up after that, where they did not allow points, and also the bow up in the second half after they had a kind of a sketchy first drive, and there was an opportunity for maybe the Bears to gain a little bit of momentum coming into the second half, and the Patriots forced yet another three and out. So flex of the game from DeMarcus Covington for understanding he had a sitting duck back there who was ready for the taking and an offensive line that was pockmarked and attacking it. We spent a lot of time on the defense, but DeMarcus Covington, who's been lit up several times, he saw a ball on the tee in front of him and he hammered it with the Chicago Bears offense.
What do you think of the outlook for the rest of the season for the Pats? 3-7, obviously not a very good record, but there's a lot of bad teams in the AFC, a lot of bad teams in the NFL. We saw the Rams last night not look great. Miami also, even in a win, didn't look great. And then you have the Colts as your next three opponents who none of them are really playing great football. So how do you see the Patriots kind of the next month or so?
It's interesting because if you look at each team, they're probably all more talented than the Patriots, one by one by one. All of them have better players than the Patriots. But I think Sunday is generally oftentimes just a snapshot of where your team is that week relative to injuries, overall mood, game plan. And the Jets and the Bears were able to be beaten by the Patriots because they had basically quit on their seasons. They had quit on their situations. And the Patriots were able to make hay. They weren't able to do that with Tennessee because they're not that good, the Patriots. So it depends on who they get when they see the Rams. It depends on who they get when they see the Dolphins and the Colts. All those teams are going to look at the Patriots and go, we should beat these freaking guys. Every single team. So I don't think that they're going to go on a run. I still think that if they get to 5 wins, that's expected. 4 wouldn't stun me, and 6 would kind of open my eyes. Don't you guys think? If they get to 6 wins, I'd say, wow.
Yeah, no, I'm taking the under on that. I just think it's how I feel now compared to 3 weeks ago has completely changed, and I feel like I have a lot of interest in these games as far as, like, I don't know how the outcome's going to go. Like, I think they're probably going to lose Sunday to the Rams, but I think it's more of a toss-up than it was a month ago, same with the Miami and Indy game. And
yeah.
So like, I'm definitely intrigued that they're in this spot. But, yeah, I mean, they still end the year with 4 or 5 wins.
Well, so
that wouldn't shock me.
Let me ask you a different way, Tom. We were saying, hey, they're 2 games out of a playoff spot. They're only 2 games back at Denver. There's a lot of teams in that mix. Is that a foolish discussion? It sounds like you think that's probably a foolish discussion to look at the Patriots as a playoff team.
It's not, but it's foolish, I think, to look at them and say, well, that's a playoff-level team. Because there are, Jonesy, 3 plays away from 6-4. They are literally 3 plays from 6-4. Say they got the 2-point conversion against the Titans, Jalen Polk got his foot down, and they didn't butcher it against the Seahawks. This could be a 6-4 football team. And they're not a playoff caliber roster. And had those breaks gone their way, would we look at them and say, well, these guys are going to be a tough out? Well, maybe. But I just don't think that. I think that would be a premature playoff appearance relative to the skill level of the team. Like, for instance, the Patriots in 1994 went to the playoffs in Drew Bledsoe's second year, and the next year they went 5-11 in 1995, and they were horrendous. And then they went to the Super Bowl the next year. I think the Patriots, it's going to totally track the exact same way the early 90s Patriots did, I believe, if they get it right.
A Super Bowl appearance.
Mm.
I'll take that. Right. I'll take that, Tom.
Right.
I don't know.
Who's the Brett Favre running around with his helmet off when they lose? I couldn't sleep for weeks after that.
Yeah, that was a tough image.
Yeah.
Tom, I don't know.
That's going to be Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if you saw Bill Belichick on Pat McAfee yesterday. Maybe the most surprising part of it was that A.J. Hawk asked the question, but Hawk asked him about specifically the Patriots and Drake May, and as you can imagine, Belichick took it to, yeah, he looks good, like, outside the pocket, and Ramondre Stevenson's a great back, but really it's all about Chicago. I don't know what your take is on Bill, once again, kind of sidestepping any kind of positive statements about the Patriots.
He's got some bad takes. I mean, you should at some point. You should at some point acknowledge the fact that Drake May is better than you thought he would be when you looked at him in April at the draft. You have compelling information, Bill. People want to hear it. We respect your opinion, but be able to say, well, that's a lot better player than he is now. Don't make it sound like he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off and not being decisive as to when to run. He's not wandering around back there. That's one of the best things about his game. But I think sometimes Bill is so reluctant to lob praise or admit that, hey, I got that wrong, that he's going to stick with it. You notice he also managed to meander over to a Jacksonville sideswipe. The double in that answer, the double benefit of that being, hey, Shot, I'm still here and your team still sucks. And you shouldn't have had Mac out there. He's horrendous. The guy was 6-18 in his last 24 games here.
Yikes.
One of the worst offenses on record, and they're still digging out on Patriots record, not national football.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you really hold his takes up to the light, how just laden with agenda they are.
Well, it's a good thing they had Ramondre Stevenson draw on the defense last year when they won their 4 games, because obviously that was a big thing that helped them out.
Who was Bill's best back last year?
Yeah.
Who was Bill's best back last year?
That would be
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, so you're arguing Zeke over Ramondre. Okay, I see where you're going.
Oh, my God. He was much better than Ramondre Stevenson because they couldn't block. Anyway.
Knock on Bill. Good. Some bad takes from Bill Belichick. I'm certainly familiar with one. Tommy Curran, always with good takes. You can watch him on Quick Slants tonight. You can read his latest at NBC Sports Boston. Drake May has risen to the occasion for the Patriots on and off the field. Check that out there. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can also catch him Thursday at 3:30 on WEEI Afternoons. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Good fun.